Lately I've been looking back along this winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. There's no better way to tell you than to say, God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, by my side he's always stood. Through it all, God's been good. Times replay and I can see that I've cried some bitter tears, but I felt his arms around me as I face my greatest fears. You see, I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt, as his grace flowed down upon me undeserved. God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, by my side he's always stood. Through it all, God's been good. For God has been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His love was my beginning, and his love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything he is, but the best way that I can say it is this: God's been good in my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, by my side he's always stood. Through it all, God's been good. Through it all, God's been good.
Amen. If you can relate to that, say amen. Amen. God has been good. Bless his holy name. He's worthy, amen, of all of our praise. God has been good. I want to just say, as I was talking about God's love for us, the Bible says he's so loved, and I just want to say that God has been so good.
Amen.
So good.
Amen.
To me, and I believe that you could testify to the same. In tonight's service, we want to give you an opportunity to do that. Tonight we're going to have some testimonies from God's people, and so you come tonight prepared to testify for the Lord. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom God hath redeemed out of a horrible pit. I'm so glad I'm saved.
Amen.
But you know what? It didn't stop there. God just keeps blessing me.
Amen.
And God's blessed me today, and God's going to just keep blessing me. And one day, brethren, we that are saved, we're going to be together on yonder shore.
Right.
In the sweet by and by. Heaven is a reality.
Right.
And we're going there, we that are saved. And it doesn't get any better than that. And I'm thankful. So tonight, and again Wednesday night, we're going to take some praises and some testimonies from God's people, and then we'll have some good singing and the preaching of the Word of God as we focus around what this season is truly about, and that is the spirit of thanksgiving. The spirit of thanksgiving. Now, I want to ask you a question this morning as we get into the message, God's Word. Are you thankful? Are you thankful? Well, you say, well, I'm at church, and I'm glad. But that doesn't necessarily mean you're thankful. Are you thankful? You say, well, I sing. But that doesn't necessarily mean you're thankful. Are you thankful? Well, I teach. I preach. But are you thankful? Do we do it with the spirit of thanksgiving? Are we thankful that we get to do these things? You see, it's not that we have to. I didn't come to church this morning because I had to. I came to church this morning because I wanted to. I want to be here. I'm not here against my will or volition. I'm here because there's a call in my heart. I mean, it's deep. It's deep. When God saved me, He put a well in my soul. And sometimes it runs deep. And deep within the recesses of my soul, God has put a call in my heart. And every Lord's Day, when God's people are meeting, that call draws me to the house of God to worship with His people. I worship God every day. I attempt to. And I believe that many of you do too. We can worship God individually. But it is good when we can come together and worship to God collectively, isn't it? I thank the Lord for that. I want to talk to you today and preach to you out of a very familiar passage of Scripture. If you've been in church any time, you probably have heard this message preached. I've preached along these lines from these Scriptures before here at the church. And I'm going to preach along and out of these Scriptures again to you. You've heard them taught, you've read them, perhaps you've studied them, but I think it's an adequate passage of Scripture. The Bible is filled with Scripture on thanksgiving, giving thanks. You know, the real thanksgiving, and listen to me carefully, real thanksgiving leads to thanksgiving. And I'm going to say that again. Real thanksgiving leads to thanksgiving. You see, thanksgiving is more than just a verbal thought or a verbal phrase that we use to God. Thanksgiving is not just something you say, it's something we do. Our life should be a message of thanksgiving. And so thanksgiving, true thanksgiving, leads to thanksgiving. And so therefore, I ask you again, are you thankful? When you sing, is there thankfulness behind it? When we preach, is there thankfulness behind it? When we work in the bus ministry, the Sunday school department, the children's ministry, deacons, whatever we do, ushers, whatever we do as believers, attending church this morning, are you thankful? I pray that God would never allow what we have met here to do this morning just become part of a ritual, a mere ceremony that we just kind of go through the motions and we have what Paul warned in the last days would become a staple, and that is a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. That as we have met here today, that we would meet here to worship God from a sincere heart. That we would worship God in thanksgiving, giving thanks to God, not just for what He has done, or not just for what we have, but for who He is and for what He has made us. If you sit here under the sound of my voice this morning and you've been saved by the grace of God, you are a child of the Almighty. That ought to, listen, you have royalty pulsating through your veins. That ought to stir you in your heart to know that regardless of what goes on in the world around us, we are children of God. Amen. Heaven bound, brethren. Sin forgiven. Amen. Names written in heaven. Amen. And we ought to be rejoicing to the God of heaven because of that. Thanksgiving is a choice. It is. You see, there are many that would believe that, well, you know, I would give thanks, but, no, listen, thanksgiving is a choice. We give thanks if we choose to. We do not give thanks if we choose not to. So please remember, thanksgiving is a choice. See, everything could be going wrong. There may be someone sitting under the sound of my voice this morning, and as far as how things look, they really do not look that well. There may be sickness. There may be financial woe. There may be a problem in the home. Maybe there's a wayward child. Maybe there's a wedge in the marriage relationship. Maybe you've gotten some dismal news from a doctor or a lawyer, and it doesn't, listen, the outlook looks bleak. It doesn't look very well. But in spite of all of these things, we can choose to give thanks. You see, we get to choose how we respond. Now, let me make myself very clear. We don't always get to choose what comes our way. Because in the providence of God, there are things that we don't see coming, and they come and they blindside us many times. And we don't always get to choose what comes our way. But I thank God that we get to choose how we respond to what comes our way. And by the grace of God, I want to respond in a way that would give glory to God. Don't you? I believe that you do. Let's look at an account in the Scripture. This really happened, brethren. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll read through the Bible and we'll think, my, that's a nice story. Listen, this is more than just a story. This is a real life event that took place in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. There were literally 10 lepers. They lived. They had names. They had families. They had things going on in their life. And in their life, it didn't look like they had a whole lot to be thankful for. As the account starts out, we find what was sought by these lepers. I think it's very interesting that Jesus, when I study this passage of Scripture, he's making his final round through Jerusalem before he goes to the cross. So he's on the backside of his ministry now. And here on the backside of his ministry, the Bible tells us that he runs into a group of people, 10 men. The number 10 in the Scripture is the number of totality, completeness. That's why when we sing in Amazing Grace, John Newton, knowing that, John Newton was the man who penned Amazing Grace, when he wrote that final stanza, he said, when we've been there, he didn't say forevermore. He didn't say any other number. He said, when we've been there 10,000 years. Now, why did he say that? Because he knew that 10 is the number of totality, completeness. And so what we see here is a picture of completeness. Now, as God ordained it, there could have been 12 men here. There could have been 18. There could have been 6. But as God would have it, in order to teach us some very vital truths, there were 10, because it's representative of mankind. The complete human race was plagued spiritually with what these men were plagued with physically. You see, in the Bible, you go back, and you don't have to turn there, but you can read it sometime. In many places in the Old Testament, in particular, the book of Leviticus, chapters 11, 12, 13, 14, you find where leprosy is dealt with. There were leper camps and leper colonies, and those that were infected with leprosy were declared unclean by the priests, and they were removed from everyday life because of the highly contagious effect of leprosy. Leprosy was something that ate away at the flesh. It ate away at the outside as well as the inside of man. And it's pictured as a picture of sin, of what sin does. Sin just keeps eating and eating, and there's a progression to it, just like there is leprosy. And there's no human cure in this day. There was no human cure, just like there's no human cure for sin. Man cannot cure sin. I'm not trying to be political here. I'm not afraid to be. But I'm not trying to be political when I make this statement. It's just a fact. And that is, you cannot legislate sin. You cannot legislate sin. Now, there ought to be morals and there ought to be laws passed that help set up moral standards. Say amen. We're for that. But the human heart is a desperately sinful thing. And you cannot legislate sin. It has to be dealt with by a higher power. Government will never pass a law that will deal with the condition of sin. But thank God, God has set forth a way that sin could be dealt with. We have these 10 men. As was read in your hearing in verse number 11, the Bible says in Luke 17, it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers which stood afar off. Now, understanding some things about leprosy, you would read that and automatically know why this has taken place. You would know that these men with leprosy were not permitted to approach passerby or even family because of their condition. They had a condition that forbid them to interact with people. They had a condition that isolated them, a condition that put them in a bad way, leprosy. The Bible says that when Jesus passed by, that there he met 10 men that were lepers. They stood afar off. This is a reminder to each of us, there's a time, though while this morning during the singing and maybe during the Sunday school hour, during the offering as we were worshiping God and listening to the good offertory music and the good special singing and singing the congregational hymns, though we felt nigh unto Christ, it hasn't always been that way, brethren. For once we were afar off. We were away from God. You may be sitting here this morning feeling your soul is bubbling with enthusiasm. Your heart is overflowing with thankfulness because of what God's done in your life, and it should. But we need to be reminded that it hasn't always been that way. It hasn't always been where we wanted to find our way down to the house of God. It hasn't always been when we wanted to hear a man stand up and preach the Word of God. Where we opened our Bible and we said, God, give me something that will help me draw closer to you. Hasn't always been that way. Well, here these men were, and they serve as a reminder to us that there was a day in every one of our lives when we were afar. Afar from Him, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse number 13 that they lifted up their voices. One of the things that leprosy attacks is the vocal cords. And I think that what these men were doing is they were putting together a concentrated effort to get the attention of the Lord Jesus because they did not realize they already had His attention. See, they did not realize they were the very purpose that Jesus passed through this little village. Amen. My, what a wonderful thing. The people that many were isolating and putting off to the side and saying, we want nothing to do with you and you're cast off and there's nothing that you have to offer. We want to put you to the side and isolate you were the very ones that Jesus made a special trip and passed through town for. Isn't that something? That's our great God, brethren. That's what that is. You see, I'm a part of this 10. I found myself hearing this story. And I pray before today is over, before this morning service is through, you will find yourself in more than one place in this account too. I was part of these 10 men, isolated, forsaken, cast off, standing afar, as verse number 12 says. The Bible says in verse 13 that they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. That's the only thing that sinful man can ask of God. Mercy. Mercy. Give us something that we don't deserve. Or don't give us something that we do deserve. Mercy. God, have mercy. Have mercy. These men were seeking something. This morning, there's not a doubt in my mind that every one of us in life are seeking something. You're seeking something. I've already found it, preacher. Well, we're all on a quest. We're seeking something. What are you seeking this morning? Peace? Contentment? Resolve? Direction? What do you seek this morning? You've come to the right place. Because the book that we use here, the Word of God, has the answers to what man seeks. These men were seeking something specific. Mercy. Maybe you're here today and you seek mercy. Maybe in your soul you would ask the question, will God have mercy on me? Will God pity me? Will God consider me? Will God do something in my life? Yes, He will. Yes, He will. But now, as we see their condition in verse number 12, where it says they were lepers, we also see their call in verse number 13, where it says they lifted up their voices. They initiated. As Jesus passed by, they did not want it to be in vain. They realized this was their opportunity. I wonder how they came to a knowledge in a condition in which they were in. And my mind began to think, as I was looking over these passages the last couple of weeks, what happened in these men's lives? Was it a family member? How did they get the message that Jesus could do something? That Jesus could bring something to their life that they were missing? That Jesus could fill that void, that He could give them the mercy that they sought? Not only could He do it, what possessed them? How did they come to the knowledge to know that He would have mercy on them? Perhaps they had heard about the mercy that He had had on others. How did you get saved? What brought you to that place to where you realize Jesus is the one I need? Jesus Christ is who I need. Not a church, not a baptismal pool, not a religious ceremony or ritual, not a case of do better. I need Jesus in my life. What brought you to that place? Had you heard about Him? Was it a family member? Was it a stranger? Who told you about Jesus? Well, I found out about Him all on my own, preacher. The Bible teaches that that's not the case at all. No man liveth unto himself, and no man dieth unto himself. All of us have had help getting to where we are in life. If you're saved this morning, it's because God put people in the pathway of your life to give you a little nugget here and a little direction here and a little tidbit of truth here and a little truth here. And when you look back over your life, you will see the providential hand of God leading you step by step to bring you to Himself. Amen? It's a wonderful thing, brethren, the sovereignty of God, the providence of God. These men on this day. Now some would say, well, that day was their lucky day. You don't believe that, do you? For these 10 men, that day was their lucky day. What? I got saved October the 26th, 1980, and I have never looked on that day as my lucky day. That was the day that God came to me, and God showed me my condition, and God done something about it. And God answered my cry when I cried, essentially what these men cried, have mercy. What about you? They sought something. They sought. You'll see their condition. We see their cry. And then we see their cleansing. In verse number 14, the Bible says, "And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." I think there's a great lesson taught here, don't you? It pays to do what Jesus says. It does. It pays to do what Jesus says. What if they said, "Well, you know, I don't want to go to a priest." That one, listen, the Samaritan, one of them was a Samaritan. He could say, "Well, you know, I'm not a Jew and I don't believe like the Jews, and so I don't believe in the priesthood. I'm not going to the priest." Doesn't matter what you understand or what you know or who you are or what background you're from, it pays to do what Jesus says. Amen. If Jesus says do it, do it. There'll be reward for obeying the voice of God. And Jesus is the voice of God. One of the titles that he possesses is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word. See, Jesus is God's communicator between God and man. Even today, that hasn't ceased. Jesus right now is seated at the right hand of God the Father, communicating our prayers as our great high priest to God. Even today, while you're sitting here, Jesus is praying for you as your great high priest. He is God's word to man and man's word back to God. Praise his holy name. The cleansing. They did what God said. So they received what they requested. I want to go back to verse number 12 just for a moment. If you look at that little phrase, 10 men that were lepers. Don't look at some of these men. As I look across our congregation, men that are dressed real neat, groomed real well, distinguished looking gentlemen. That's not what these men were. I don't know what stage of leprosy these men were in. The Bible doesn't say. Oftentimes people with leprosy had missing fingers. They had nubs. They had holes in the side of their cheek, or they had no teeth. Their nose was missing from their face. They had putrefying sores all over their body that was eating away at their flesh. So when you think about these 10 men, please don't think of 10 men lined up that looked distinguished and neat and well-groomed. No, these men were a sight. They were a sight that many could probably not even bear to look upon. Isn't that what sin does to people? I thought about it. Oftentimes when we see people, we see the outside. But if somehow we could pull back the veil of their body and look into their soul, it would break our heart. These men's body was ravaged. I read the story several years back. Prince Edward in England. I think it was in the 1934-35. After the war, there had been many veterans that had been gathered in and brought into special hospitals and special keeping and holding units. And Prince Edward wanted to go by and visit those veterans. And he wanted to tell them that he appreciated their sacrifice and their service. This is a true story that they had given for their country. Now, just as early as last week, we celebrated Veterans Day here. And I thank God for our veterans. I thank God for men and women who have served and are serving our great country. And this Prince Edward, wanted to do the same. And so he was told that there's going to be 36 men that you're going to visit today. And these men are in a bad way. He said, well, I want to visit them. So they took him into this hospital, and as they were in this hospital, he went by and he shook their hands and he thanked them. Many of them were disfigured and gloom, and they looked ravaged by the effects of the war that they had fought. And he thanked them and he told them that he appreciated their sacrifice and their service for their country. And as they completed their tour through that hospital, when it got to the end, they said, okay, now it's time to go this way and exit the building. He said, wait a minute. He said, I was told there were going to be 36, but I only counted 29. I said, well, there's seven others, but we just don't like for people to visit with them because of the condition, and many people can't stomach the condition. He said, I want to see the other seven. They made just as much of a sacrifice as anyone else. And so he went in, and he visited them, and he told them how much he appreciated their service and how much he appreciated their commitment, their sacrifice to their country. And they said, okay, that's it, Prince Edward, it's time. And he said, wait a minute, that was just six. And they said, well, there's one that we don't allow anyone to go in to see. He said, I want to see him. And they said, please don't ask him. He said, I want to see that man. And so they took him, and in a dark room stood a man that was disfigured and hunched over. And it took him a while to gain his composure when he stood and he looked at that man. And as he stood and looked at that man, for a few moments he gained his composure, and then he reached over and he grabbed that man by the neck and he drew him to himself and he kissed him on the cheek. And he said, sir, I want to thank you for your service to our country and your commitment and your sacrifice. Say, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? Because while I was reading that story, I thought about one that stooped down far lower than that prince that day and drew something far more ugly than that poor soldier that had given his body to be ravished in war for the freedoms and liberties that he protected for his country. God drew me near to himself and hugged me and kissed me like I was his son, and I was just an old sinner. I don't ever want to get over the cleansing that God has done in my soul. Preacher, you cry too much. I pray I never lose my tears. Preacher, you get too excited. I pray I never lose my excitement. I pray I never get over Calvary, brethren. I pray I never get over the fact that Jesus sought me out and found me. I pray I never get too highbrow to where I forget where I was when Christ came to me. I don't ever want to get over that. I don't ever want to get over that. It appears that we live in a day of nominal Christianity where there are folks that cried out for mercy. 10 of them cried, Lord, have mercy. But only one went back and said, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I don't ever want to get over thanking God for what he's done in my soul. It's real. And I haven't gotten over it, and praise God, I hope I never get over it. You say, preacher, you sound like a novice. Call it what you will. I don't ever want to get over being saved by the grace of God. So we ought to act dignified, like dignified saved people. Well, that's all right. You act that way. I'm going to act like a shouting saved person. I'm glad I'm saved. These 10, they lifted up their voice, and Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. There's a process here, and I won't go into it, but this was, listen, they were following the ceremonial law in Israel. They were doing the right thing. Jesus told them right. Can I tell you, Jesus will always tell you right. Jesus will always tell you right. You say, well, preacher, it doesn't sound right. Why couldn't he just speak healing like he did to the blind man or like he did to the deaf man? Listen, it may not sound right. It doesn't all have to sound right. If Jesus said, do it, it's right. Jesus followed what was right, and they followed the voice of Jesus, which was what was right. And so they received the blessing.
The Bible says they received their cleansing. Verse number 14 says, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. So we see what the nine or the ten sought, but we're going to see what one of them spoke. Look at what the scripture says. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. Now, as far as I can tell, this is the only time in all the scripture that turning back is looked at in a positive light. He turned back. He didn't want to just receive the gift and forget the giver. Now, this is where you and I come in. Have you received your cleansing? Have you received your cleansing? Have you turned back? See, there was a question asked here, and I'll not go into great detail, but I would like for you to go home, maybe in your own personal study, and write down what the answer could be. The Bible keeps presenting questions to us. Have you noticed that? Acts 16, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's a good question. Amen. Job 14, 14, if a man die, shall he live again? That's a good question. Yes. Romans 8, 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That's a good question. Mark 8, 35, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That's a very searching question. The Bible is full of answers, but it's also full of very searching questions. Jesus asked a question here. Look at it, if you would, in verse 17. The question that Jesus said as he answered, he said, "Were there not ten cleansed? But where are the nine?" I think that's a fair question. Ten prayed. Ten cried out, have mercy. But only one praised. There's a lot of people praying. And well, we should. But there's not a whole lot of people praising anymore. Praise is comely, brethren. Praise is comely. Did you know God wants us to praise Him? Did you know that it was a concern of the Lord Jesus that nine of these men did not return to praise Him? That's why He brought it up. Are you thankful? Am I? Are we thankful? God notices when we're not. God noticed that these nine were not. He did. But look who notices when we are. Here we are hundreds of years later talking about this one man that praised God. You never know who's watching when we praise God. You never know who it's going to affect. You ever just stepped on an elevator and said, praise God, it's a great day, isn't it? Right? What's wrong with that man? Oh, there's nothing wrong with me. It's all right now. I'm saved. Used to be wrong. Not now. I'm saved. Amen. Great question. Where are the nine? Where do you think they are? There's not a person in here that doesn't know somebody personally that got cleansed, but you can't find them. You say, well, I got cleansed. Well, you're here praising God. Where are those nine? I think that's a question worth looking into. Where are they at? Well, you know, preacher, gotta work. Well, you better thank God you got energy and strength to work. That's just more of a reason to thank God. Say amen with me. Amen. We don't come to church because we work. That's no excuse. We don't come to church because finances. We don't come to church because of family. We don't come to church because fun. We're out in just doing fun stuff. This is fun to me. Y'all having fun yet? I'm serious. You'd be shocked at the things that people say. Where are those nine? Where are these nine? I can hear them now. They're down. We're down at the Samaritan Spa taking care of the body, preacher. You better take care of the soul. Amen. The things that Satan will put out there, and there's nothing wrong with any of those things. Fun, family, finances, fitness. There's nothing wrong with any of those things until it gets in the way of us giving thanks to God and worshiping God and serving God. Now all of a sudden, there's something wrong with it. Where are the nine? Could you imagine? How many of you watch... what's his name? Waters on Fox News. He goes out and he interviews people. You know what I'm talking about? The guy who goes out and he interviews people, you know? And he'll ask questions and he'll just man on the street. You know, going to ask you some questions. And there's several people. Ray Comfort does it. Sean Hannity does it. Just go out. We're going to ask you some questions, right? I would have loved to have been around in this day and just gone out and interviewed those nine men. Where are the nine? Why didn't you go back to thank Jesus? Well, now you said you were from Fellowship Baptist Church Post, right? The Gazette. You gonna put this in print? I am. Well, you tell them. I would have gone back, but man, I'm busy. I mean, I'm busy. Busy, 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 busy. Everybody's busy. Got things going on. You don't have time to worship and thank God? No, you're not busy. You're too busy. You need to cut some of that stuff out so you can get your balance in your life. Amen. You see what God is prompting us to think about here? Where are the nine? The question was, where are the nine? We know about the one. The one's going to get something here as we bring this message to a close that all of us need in life. Affirmation. Promise. But the question that Jesus asked us, wait a minute. There were ten. Where are the nine? I pray to God that God would help me. And I say this in the spirit of humility. I don't ever want to be a part of that nine. Now, I've been a part of the ten. And thank God he heard my cry and he rescued me out of that. How about you? Amen. You're saved? Amen. You've been part of the ten, right? Oh, don't be part of the nine, please. Listen, if you find yourself slipping to where you go a day and you don't thank God for your provision, that you're so busy you can't bow your head and say, thank you, Lord, for the food you sit in front of me and the clothes you put on my back and this bed and this shelter you've given me to sleep in and my family, God, you have been so good to me and I just want to bless your holy name. Listen, I realize there's days and we have them. There may be a man, and Rob, if you're watching us, there's a man, my family, and I want to thank you for praying for us. We went down to South Carolina, 49-year-old man, full of life, brain cancer. The doctors say he doesn't have long to live, but we know God's in control of that. And I know that there's things that happen in our life that may somehow come crashing down around us, and we might find it hard to make our way back to the feet of Jesus and tell him thank you. But I pray that we would never get to that place to where we wouldn't be thankful for what God does in our lives. Those nine, where are the nine? Where are the nine? How many are out there that we know? How many are out there that God's saying, where are they? I don't want to be a part of that, do you? I don't believe you do. But let me tell you something now. Before we go, unless we forget, before we go judging these nine, unless we forget that we could be in that number, it could happen to us. We could become ungrateful and unthankful. We have to stay focused and remember where the goodness of life and the grace of life come from. It all comes from above, doesn't it, brethren? Finally, we find where this one in verse number 15, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Oh, I forgot to tell you about those nine. One of the things that I can hear one of them saying would be something like this. Well, you know,
I tell you, I went back, or I started to, and I just heard all that shouting and carrying on, and I don't know. I just don't like to be around that, you know. And people shouting and lifting their hands, you know, doing that biblical stuff. Biblical stuff? Oh, yeah. Didn't you know the Bible says that there's nothing wrong with going? Amen! You say, preacher, I'm going to need a verse for that. Psalm 47:1. Psalm 47:1. The Bible says in Psalm 34:2, lift your hands before the Lord. Psalm 32:11, shout unto the Lord. Psalm 95:6, bow down before the Lord. Psalm 106:48, say amen.
Amen.
That's what it says. Just say amen.
Amen.
See, that's biblical stuff. And so people say, oh, well, they're demonstrating their worship. What are we supposed to do? You don't think this man demonstrated it? Let's see. When he turned back, now what kind of voice was that? Loud voice. Oh, they get loud sometimes in that Fellowship Baptist Church. We're just trying to show God we're thankful.
Amen.
Don't mind us. We just don't want to be like that nine.
Right.
We just want God to know we thank you, Lord. Well, God's not hard of hearing. Well, you be sure to tell this man that when you get to heaven. Amen. You say, well, preacher, now don't get smart aleck on us. I'm not. I'm just saying, listen, there's nothing wrong with outward praise.
Right.
Nothing wrong with it. Look at what it also says. Not only said with a loud voice, but he glorified God. His loud voice, it just wasn't about him. It was about God, right?
Right.
Look at verse number 16. Fell down on his face at his feet. You think it would shake me up? Listen, I've been preaching in meetings before where I got hemmed in. I got off the platform and got hemmed in. People around at the altars praying, and that didn't shake me up. It wouldn't shake me up if during the song service people started coming to the altar and praying and weeping and praising God. That wouldn't shake me up. Would that shake you up? I hope that wouldn't shake you up. If people came down to the altar and just started praying and praising God or begging God to have mercy on them, that shouldn't shake us up. That's church. That's church. Oh, my goodness. The preacher's going Pentecostal. Baptists were doing this before Pentecostal. I'm not really concerned about terms. Pentecostal, Baptist, this, that, Presbyterian, Methodist. We're Christians. Christians worship God. I don't want God saying, where's he at? Where's he at? Where's the nine? Are you thankful? Look, if you would, in verse 16. Fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And this is the part that'll stun you. He was a Samaritan. The person you would least expect it. You ever thought, man, I wish they would take me on Facebook so I could send it to all my high school friends. What do you mean, preacher? I want them to know the Dale Freeman that used to be is not the Dale Freeman that is. That Dale Freeman is gone. Shouting the victory for Jesus now. I used to be loud and boisterous, but all for the wrong reasons. Now I'm shouting the victory for Jesus Christ. Not ashamed of it either. I hope you're not ashamed of that. You're not ashamed of that, are you? I pray that you wouldn't be. Where are the nine? Where are they? Where are the nine? That one that went back, Jesus said this to him in verse 19. Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Well, there's some that say this man got saved as well as got cleansed from his leprosy. Possible. Very possible. I believe he was saved. Not sure that didn't happen at the time when he turned to go back. See, I'm afraid that some people are like this. Now, did you kneel at the altar when you got saved? And did you pray like this? You know, did you say these exact words? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Listen, I've seen people get up out of their seat. They didn't even make it to the altar. They got saved. Oh, and now, wait a minute, preacher. That's not the way such and such church believes. I'm not concerned about the way the church believes. I'm concerned about the way Jesus teaches it. It's in the heart. With the heart, man believeth. unto salvation. Amen. Well, you know, we got our rituals you got to go through. God doesn't. God doesn't. I'll tell you what God says, repent, which means turn. He turned back. He turned back. And then he got this confirmation. Going to be well for you, son. Moving forward, you're whole. Going to be well for you. Glad day of my life that I heard the voice of God say, it's going to be well for you, son. I'll never forget where I was when it happened. Whew. Found out I was saved forever. Saved forever. I struggle with that. I talked with a lady. She's here today. I talked with her a week or so ago, and she was struggling. I didn't even know it. We just began to talk, and she didn't know. She just recently got saved, and she didn't know she was saved forever. And I told her, I said, oh, you're saved forever. Amen. You're saved forever. All saved people are saved forever. Everybody say amen with me right there. Saved forever. Boy, I tell you, you get a hold of that now. Saved forever. And when we hung up, she said, I am so glad that I talked to you today. I'm glad I know I'm saved forever. I am too, sister. Amen. I'm glad that you know, and I'm glad that I know. I'm glad that you can know you're saved forever. Do you find yourself in that story? Do you find yourself in that account of Scripture? Luke 17. You're in there. 10. I'm there. I was crying out. Full of leprosy. No man could do anything for me. No hope for me as far as man was concerned. 9. Did you find yourself there? One who just kind of goes through life saying, well, you know, God should have done that. God owed me that. I mean, after all, I was born in America. I should be saved. I don't have to tell God thank you. He already knows. Well, now you be sure that when your children don't tell you that they love you, that you're okay with that, because you already know. No, we're not good with that. God wants to hear that we love Him, and God wants to hear that we're thankful, just like you want to hear it too. Did you find yourself in that 9? Or are you in that 1? When God blesses you, just turn and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Let's all stand to our feet. I believe God wanted me to preach this message this morning because, well, this week there'll be a lot of people's minds centered around Thanksgiving. And perhaps there's someone here that needed to be put in remembrance that as Christians we need to be thankful. But now we get to choose. We're either going to spend our life murmuring and complaining or being thankful. Far too often I find myself murmuring and complaining. What about you? I don't want that to be what people remember me by. I want to be remembered as someone who praised God for His goodness in his life. The pianist is going to come. I'm going to ask the pianist if she would to start playing. And as she does, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Did you find yourself in the account of Scripture this morning? If you did, God nudged you in your heart. Maybe God said, you know what? And He reminded you of a blessing. And you just want to thank Him for it. Why don't you come and thank Him? Maybe God done something for you. You prayed and prayed and prayed, and God answered Him because you were so excited about the answer to the prayer, you failed to give thanks to the one who answered the prayer. Sometimes we get so enthralled with the gift that we forget the giver. It's not that we necessarily intend on doing that. It just happens. And it can. Today God reminded you, won't you come and give thanks unto the Lord? For He is good, and His mercy endureth forever.